Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
And welcome to the last show of season three. Season three was a lot of deconstruction that we did. We did a lot of social justice in season two, and season one was a lot of discovery.
Okay.
But season three, we deconstructed a lot. And so we got big plans for season four, but we are closing it out with the homies from the Reels and Feels podcast, T Greasy and Miss Janelle.
Hey.
Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
Now, some of y'all may remember they were here on Faith Stories episode.
Yes.
Okay, so we talked about some really interesting journeys. And this is, go back and listen to that if you haven't.
Yeah, it's in season two.
Season, is that far back?
Yeah.
It's been a
while, homie.
Yeah. Oh.
I should invite y'all more frequently.
<than this. laughs>
So yeah, go check that out, season two. So today we are talking about, I don't know what to call it. Like, I don't know. I should have had, I have an outline,
wake
but I don't
up.
Have really.
There yeah. it is.
Like school days.
Yeah. So the title I had for the episode is Living While Woke. Because we did a Living While Black in season earlier.
And it's stressful. So let's go ahead and get into it.
Yeah, but wokeness is it's something that, I don't know, you can explain it. You better at this than me.
What? we're talking about self-awareness. So I think woke is coming to the point of being overused, but
yeah, white people using it now, so we gotta stop. It's
over. We need a new word.
This is just,
you know,
we just using it. It's the end of the season.
People
this
just
like
be
a
taking
shot.
Stuff and running with it, but
it has a rather negative connotation now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a little bit of a knee jerk.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to call it reaction, but it's so many people hating because they're not really, you know, on a certain level. There are a lot of people who are professing wokeness who don't read books. All of their news comes from snapshots. And, you know, when you're really paying attention to how social media and technology curates for the user, you have to be careful because you begin to believe that everything you see is truth, but it's actually confirmation bias.
Yes.
It's the things you like to see. And they keep popping up to you. And if your mind is not conditioned and not trained, you begin to think that these things are true. Conversely, people who are gaining a self-awareness through education and being open to their experiences sometimes come to a conclusion that they have awakened. They are no longer overlooking or unaware of circumstances in their environment or power dynamics in communication or microaggressions and things of this nature. And we've put all of that under the umbrella of wokeness. As with anything, it's a little crowded under the umbrella.
Yeah.
So
we're
going to deconstruct what that is today.
So we've invited T and Janelle here to invent a new word that we can use in place of wokeness.
You invited the wrong host to invent a word. I tell you
we're
that
gonna
much.
Come up with something. Something brilliant's going to happen.
Okay.
Today.
Before we get into that, like, I don't want to put this at the end. For people who haven't heard Reels and Feels, what do y'all do over there?
Oh my gosh. Talk a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
That's not the elevator pitch that I was.
We are.
And hers is three times better than mine.
We are a podcast that talks, that plucks news out of the social media realm, out of politics, out of entertainment, out of everywhere. And we try to talk about those news stories and subjects in a way that makes you feel like you're talking with your friends.
Okay.
That's kind of like the basic gist of what we do. Now, Miss Janelle has been kicking butt lately with providing all of the content, the majority of the content for the show. We've pulled my little brother out of his shell, so he's become more of a force on the show, creating characters.
Hilarious characters. Oh my God.
He's drawing off a lot of experience hanging with my uncles and my dad, and that could be problematic at times, but the characters are meant to be funny and meant to exaggerate stereotypes and things of that nature. We just have a bunch of fun on our show.
One of the things I appreciate is the fact that when y'all do news, it's not the normal news. Like, news is primarily politics at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But the stories that y'all pull, I mean, it could be, owner.
I mean, sometimes
ate his cat, and it's like
all of the animal stuff woman, is coming from Miss Janelle.
Sometimes a woman has a 1 foot gator in her yoga pants, and we need to break that down.
We need to understand.
We need to understand,
and not just from the woman's perspective, but from the gator's perspective as well.
I do the hard hitting stuff.
I see, but see, that's one of the reasons why I wanted y'all on the show, because in a time when everything is so serious, y'all can pull stuff, and I actually. I'm learning and I'm laughing because of the stuff that y'all pulling. I'm like, yo, why are we talking about this? But I love talking about this.
We actively try to avoid the heavier topics. I don't know if you've noticed, if you listen to us during a time where a story is breaking and is really, really heavy, we try to wait. Mm-hmm. We want to wait for that initial reaction to kind of calm down, gather up some details, get the story from both angles, and then we decide whether we want to talk about it on the show or not.
That is so helpful.
We just try. Now, if it's just joke time, then we're just going to get on joke time.
Yeah, just go into it. But that is so helpful, being thoughtful. We try to be thoughtful. Sometimes. We over here flipping over tape. Most times.
All right, so this awareness.
Yes.
This wokeness awareness. Michael Harriet wrote an article for The Root. And it was called The Six Levels of Wokeness. And it was asking which level you are. So level one was asleep. Like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't realize that there's something going on around you. This is the All Lives Matter people. That stuff makes sense to you. Like, you're the black friend. Like, the engagement. Like, that's
yes.
You.
Man.
Level two is groggy. This is when... like, you're the black friend still, but something is a little weird about that racist joke that everyone just told.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what it is, but you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Dissonance is starting to get to you, and you're not really sure.
Mm. Or when they come into you at work for urban ideas.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you start to get uncomfortable. Yeah.
Child, mm-hmm. I'm going to just let y'all talk it out.
You have to work karaoke, and they want you to sing Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Like that's your thing.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Like, you just could not sing Justin Bieber or Miley Cyrus.
My soul, I can't take it.
All right, so level three is newly woke.
Like a newborn babe.
If you're newly woke, you just watch Hidden Colors and you loved it.
Right. Think Neo when he went through the little
in
shoot
Matrix?
Thing. Yeah, yeah, and started popping stuff out the back of his head.
Yeah.
That's the newly woke.
Yeah, thing. Like you've digested a bunch of information. Well, no.
Not
you've
even.
Consumed a bunch of information.
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't digested anything.
You have confronted a lot of stimulating situations.
Right.
That I don't even know if you really know what's going on, but you know something's going on.
Oh, yeah. Right. You're aware.
And you're quick to tell people that, hey, peep how that wild rice is brown rice.
Mm-hmm.
Peep how you cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a plan.
Right.
Everything makes sense and nothing makes sense when you say it out loud.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you mad at religion. You hate white Jesus. You ruining stuff for everybody. Like, you the person who's telling,
you are
5-year-olds there's no Santa Claus because you can't.
You're killing it
you
all.
Have no filter for what you've learned,
right.
And you have no
You're
way
overwhelmed.
To put the information together.
You're overwhelmed.
I have to say, I was stuck there for about 8 years.
That's a long time.
It was a long time. That's why you need good people around you, like Miss Janelle.
I mean, but you just prepare. So when you had newly woke, this is when you starting to really get upset.
Yeah.
Like before, when you were groggy, you a little confused, like. Did they just say, I don't know, but now you're upset because you know something's
right.
Wrong.
Or constantly giving the benefit of the doubt. Newly woke, I think you start to rub up against what I've called the invisible structures.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no longer something that can be explained away. Now you're looking at the circumstances, the environment in which certain things continue to happen.
Yeah.
So there we go.
And you don't know where to look. So you end up... in a bunch of Pan-African spots, maybe some Hotep stuff, and you can't really discriminate with the information until you get to the next level, which is eyes wide open. That's level four. This is pro level right here.
Pro level.
Yeah, you know how to maneuver through, the ashiness of the Hoteps. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see the system and understand how it's connected,
Right. You're navigating. You're a navigator.
So, yeah, this is Eyes Wide Open is a lot of people were there.
Okay. Level 5.
Woke as fuck. That's. This is.
And need a nap. But right.
There you go. That part.
So this is like you your hair is locked and you vegan now and you letting everybody know.
You have overcompensated. Now, not to take anything away from people who are this authentically.
Right.
Authentically. Authenticity is what makes the difference. Authenticity counterbalances everything that you're about to bring to the table that is annoying. Okay. Because mm-hmm. this is annoying. But it can be, rather. But woke as fuck is fine as long as it is authentic. Being woke as fuck to, you know, harm somebody else or to make somebody else feel stupid or ignorant right. is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
This is when you'll start to hear a lot of words like unpack and problematic and things like that. You
with
like
no
to
look contact. For safe spaces.
With no yeah. contact. Yeah. And I'm think just trying to get a drink out the lunchroom, Bob.
Right. Right. And when
let's
you
unpack
get,
that.
When what you get stuck.
No. I don't want to.
When you get stuck in woke as fuck mode and you're wielding it as a weapon, it's one of those things where your whole intent gets lost because nobody wants to talk to you
nobody.
About anything because everything then becomes a breakdown and an unpacking and a debrief. And sometimes I just want to kick it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the anger like at this level? It seems like you really into it now.
Anger levels? I think, I mean.
I don't know if it's necessarily anger.
It's anger.
So what I'm thinking about is the Baldwin quote that says, when Baldwin says
to be a
conscious Negro. Relatively conscious Negro is to always be in a state of
rage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's relative.
Unsustainable.
So you got to understand that there are people who are relatively conscious on level one who keep tossing and turning in bed.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
So just like you would think of a depressed person who's mm-hmm. just like, I can't do it today. Mm-hmm. There are people who are aware that everything is on fire and they have decided to stay in bed. They can't rise to the occasion of either identifying or confrontation. So identifying is, I know you did something, you know, messed up, or I know this is messed up. Confrontation is, and I'm about to tell you, mm-hmm. or I'm going to behave in a way that lets you know that I have, you know, that I'm mm-hmm. aware mm-hmm. that shit is fucked up. The rage, I think, is present from the time that you become aware of your othering, when somebody begins to other you. Mm-hmm. So whomever makes a objectification of your blackness, mm-hmm. has already kind of turned you on. Your reaction to that is what puts you on these levels. And some people have only reacted to the point that they're like, the only way I can manage this is to not manage it at all, to not engage in it at all. You know, I know my family. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with my church. I'm comfortable with my community. And it don't really get any deeper than that. And I really hesitate to vilify those folks because I wholeheartedly believe that we can't get enough help in our community to begin to deal with some of the things that are under observation or that we experience.
One of the ways that you know that you are woke as fuck is if you find yourself consistently triggered by a different thing. Like if you have that language to apply to something and things are constantly bothering you that way, or not bothering you, but really creating a severe emotional reaction or emotional response to whatever it is, you're in that category. Level 6.
The insomniac. The person who can't go to sleep. The person who can't, relax is such a loaded word, but the person who can't just take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Insomniac is, every white person is the devil. The Egyptians invented the iPhone. Like this is, you're a flat earther.
Help me.
That's insomniac. Like you need a nap. You need to go back to sleep. You need to go back down the levels a little bit.
Everything is an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is aimed at putting you down, no matter what it is.
Meant for your destruction.
Absolutely.
And you might even be right, but everybody ain't trying to hear all that all the time. Even going over this scale, it reminds me of the different aspects of grief. What is it? Denial, acceptance, mm-hmm. and then. So you could be level 6 until you burn out And then you come back in at a like a high vibrating two because you got to see what the playing field is. Mm-hmm. You could clock out, you know, sometimes that thing that gets you from sleep to groggy is actually, it might take you down another rabbit hole. And when you clock in, you're on level five. You kind of went past three and four. So I don't want anybody to think, oh, I'm level two and holding. You're not. You'll be level, you know, six if you don't take care of yourself. Or if you, again, that confirmation bias where you get your information from and what you choose to share and what you choose to repeat. You have to be careful. You almost have to seek out other points of view. Because your point of view, your worldview is not the only one to be considered.
That's the most important part there, is seeking out a view not like your own. I listen to podcasts from the far, from the conservative to damn near alt-right. And it's just enough to keep me level. Like, I don't understand. I am struggling to understand perspectives, other people's perspectives, other people's sides. I have a family from the Midwest. They're conservative. Their views, they're not as triggered as we are. They consider the East Coast part of the family very sensitive. And it's important to me to be able to talk to everybody and hold a conversation without being angry.
That's the thing. I think if you level six, you lost all capacity for joy. Like, you can't, it's hard to find joy in anything. You be like, y'all want some bacon?
And
like,
you gonna burn out.
Yeah. You can't, I mean, everything. Yeah. Like, what you doing on Sunday? Out. Let me tell you about Sunday. Like, no, don't tell me about Sunday.
Like, no, my goodness. Just, I don't even want to know about Sunday. Yeah.
But it's wild, though, too. Like, when you think about the term woke and the fact that it's very past tense or very finite. It's like, oh, now I'm woke. And it's like, if you have the understanding that you're always, or hopefully you're always awakening, there's always something new to become aware of. There's always something new to learn. I think that that helps bring about that balance, because I never think that I got it. I never think that I get a piece of information. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm here now. Because at 42 years, I'm still a baby in the grand scheme of the world.
And the man is still changing his plan, so you think you got it.
Listen, agility is the name of the game, because just when you think you have something figured out, something else has happened. We talk about this all the time. We'll go over outline and we'll be like, yo, OMG. Even as you see these things, it is just so important to manage that knowledge content. Think about when you're in school. When you're in school, you can't get all the homework up front on the first day. Now, in college, you get your syllabus and you got to manage it the best way you can. But that's kind of how the approach should be. You have to manage your intake and your outtake, because if you're the vessel and you keep filling up with all this stuff, there's nothing more frustrating than thinking you know something that other people need to hear or need to know, and how you approach teaching them has alienated them. The information is so important that we really need to be thoughtful about how and what we share.
Very true. And I think that the way that social media is set up right now, people don't give that time to let things breathe. They're just so pressed to get the information out.
And be first.
And that is very detrimental, because the way that you feel about something in the moment that you hear about it or you witness it, your whole outlook can change in 24 hours. But you've already dropped those characters, or you already dropped that, you know, that description
assessment
or that.
And you have all the,
and you've put that out there. And people treat stuff like there can be no variables. It's like, oh, you said that, you're problematic, you're canceled, we're moving on. And then it's like, nah, that right there, that was some bullshit. But that over there, what you said 2 days later, that's true.
Yeah.
And that over there, I can get with that. But that over there, not so much. But that is not for me to cancel, you know? And I think that the part that a lot of people who are super woke miss out on is studying the most important aspect of that, which is yourself. And so, so that you're not triggered constantly. If I know me, I know my process, I know how things will affect me, then I know that I'll be able to do what I need to do when I come across that information. You know, I know how to transition.
How you learn.
Yeah, how I learn. I know how to transition thoughts, and feelings to action. I know when I can think and feel something and I don't need to act. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm prepared to do some teaching. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get flooded with some information, you're feeling good about it, you hype, but I'm not ready to put this down. And then when I know more, I'm ready to bring it to my inner circle.
Right.
If I know even more, I can take it outside of my inner circle.
We call that sitting with it for a while.
You gotta sit with it for a while. Absolutely. Yeah.
So these are the six levels. Mm-hmm. So now that we know what they are, when would you say that you kind of woke up? Like,
well, what level are you? That's what I want to know.
Okay, what level are you? I don't know. I don't know who wants to take that. Mike, what level are you?
Well, I can't lock my hair, so I can't be woke as fuck because I'm bald. But I'm vegan, so it's kind of tricky. I don't know which one. So I guess I'm in between eyes wide open, level 4 and level 5.
Right.
I would say I'm probably between level 3 and level 4.
Okay.
What did we say? Eyes wide open?
Was? Eyes wide open is level 4.
Level 4.
I'll say that.
That's where you are, level 4. Yeah.
I'm like a VIP level 4.
It sounds like I've listened to several episodes. I don't think your level is on this list, if I'm be honest.
We had toyed with the fact that we think that combined we might be like level 7.5.
Okay.
But I would say VIP level 4 only because I have been made to read a lot of sources, mm-hmm. and I appreciate that academic training and I appreciate that discipline because the marketplace is so full mm-hmm. of information mm-hmm. that like sometimes I marvel at people. I'm like, dang, that YouTube about to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know, you know, and it sounds good and you repeat it or, you know, constantly listening or, like I said, getting your sources from certain places. When I say that thing was trained out of us, it makes you bring a more critical eye to who even put this information mm-hmm. into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Who even created this for me to consume it?
That's the part that I am stuck. I'm constantly, but I go down a rabbit hole of looking at who's providing the information without ever closing the circle. Like, I'll just start digging and digging and digging into stories. I even get to the point where I'm watching the evening news and I'm asking the question, like, the real news is on the ticker, but they keep telling me where somebody got shot.
Yeah.
But the real stuff is happening at the bottom of the screen. Why is that? Yeah, so I'm with you with that one. I'm constantly looking for the source.
I feel like level 4 is a sweet spot. Like, I think once you get past level 4, it starts to be a little
it's
bit.
It's a finesse game. Level 4 is like the height of your finesse game. It's like, I be around y'all, but I ain't really with it. Like, I'm in it, but I ain't out.
Yeah, you stop dunking. Yeah. Now you developed your shot, your three-pointer. Yes. I got you. Yeah. You only go in the lane when it's open.
So, you said you was which one was you for 8 years? You was newly woke for 8 years?
Yeah. I didn't have any guidance. My homie left me. Miss Janelle went out of state.
Okay. She physically left you.
She
okay.
physically left me, and that's like who I bounce. Yeah, I bounce all my ideas off
so
of.
That's the problem. As you navigate or graduate through these levels, it really does matter who you have.
Who I have with me in the squad, that the people that was with me at the time wasn't the right people for me to bounce these ideas off of. And I was stuck.
You were stuck.
I was stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was pretty stuck between wearing unks and wrapping my hair
and not reading
anything. Looking the part.
Let me tell you, I got dragged for filth because you fall into it. Mm-hmm. I can't read all them books all the time, but someone I trust called me out on that. Mm. And I was like, you're absolutely right. Because you have to be intentional.
Yes.
So a lot of the time, people are just doing shit, but it's not intentional. Mm-hmm. Their only intention is to get on your nerves. That's all they know.
Yep.
But they're not really doing anything. And if you are inclined to teach, like some people can just share information. I'm just letting you know this happened. Some people can teach.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain to you exactly, you know, what the environment was that produced the circumstances that produced the event. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go back and we're going to evaluate.
Yep.
Okay. So people are misrepresenting themselves as teachers. they are information sharers at best. They are town criers, you know, who look really, really good. Mm-hmm. They are letting you know what the headline is, but they are not giving you a way to process that information. So those of us who can kind of work with this information, we're privileged to be able to do so because it's a lot, but we have a responsibility to make sure that if we're going to be out here talking and people, you know, bringing that conversation to us who might be level one or level two, okay, you have a responsibility not to propel them past learning into fear.
Yeah, definitely. And I pay attention to, like, when we think about, we were talking about people pulling stuff and just talking about it. I look at the source and then I look at what their sources are. If you're not able to give me your source material, especially if you're dropping stats or, you know, you're claiming things as fact, or you're sourcing something from YouTube, you know, your source was Hidden Colors, or have you seen the, I hear you. Or, you know, you talk to the Black Hebrews who were on the corner and they told you, and that's the extent. And I know that you've done no research, then that's a problem for me. But all the time, like, I run into people who just grab the headline. And some days when I got time for it, I'll be that asshole.
You have time for it a lot.
I'll be that asshole, be like, you know, I'll jump into the thread. Anybody read the article? And then, you know, because you'll see people real mad.
I got a lot of opinions for nobody
shut
to read.
Down
for a headline
Ms.
Janelle that was
will
here.
Shut down a thread. Did you read?
Actually, that's not what it says.
I try to just sit in a cut. I be like, you know, I'm gonna let y'all go.
What level is natural deodorant? Which woke level is that? Ooh, like charcoal toothpaste. That's, black jelly beans. Wait,
eight.
Probably. No, it could be eight, but it could also be three. You could be right there, just learning about aluminum and its effects.
So that gets into this idea that just because you know means that you're going to do. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of people who are like, I know what's going on, but they're not doing anything with it except posting it on, you know. Yeah, and I take nothing from the Facebook ministries, but
you also, people have to, switching to natural deodorant is a process. And people don't want to do the work. You don't just go with Tom's just because that's the first thing that popped up.
That's what's available in Walmart.
No. You got to try.
I'm going to tell you, Tom's is out here failing everybody. Nope. Tom's, I don't think Tom's has succeeded one time.
No. You know how many times I've failed with Tom's?
Be like, maybe, did I get the wrong kind of Tom's?
No, you didn't get the wrong kind of Tom's. And then if you read the
Tom's
comments,
is just wrong.
It's just wrong. If you read the reviews, you'll find out how wrong it is. But you have to try. You have to try different things, different combinations. Maybe these natural ingredients may not work for you. So you have to go somewhere else. And some people have gone and experimented with natural deodorant and found themselves right back on aluminum because it just, something about the toxins, man, that keep you dry.
Natural deodorant lets you know when it's time to go. Like, you got a limited window. Be like, oh, I got 2 hours since I put this on and I need to get out of here.
And that's, then, how natural is your deodorant? Do you need to keep it refrigerated? Because there's certain places you can't go. You can't just have that shit in your pocket.
All right, so Amir, what you said in terms of translating to action, that's one of the problems of wokeness. Like, it just doesn't, it's easy to assess the issue and the connections, but it's very difficult to translate that energy into something that's tangible and effective. And I think that's one of the ways that we actually losing or lost the word. Just because you don't see any results from it. You see a bunch of people that's upset.
I mean, it's easy. If I can go and see what's on your timeline, like, I'm sure if a person doesn't really know me in real life and they look at one of my, you know, sources or my pages, they'll be like, oh my gosh, she woke as fuck. But you also have to understand me. So this is going to be some of the stuff that I'm into, I'm reading, I'm aware of, whatever. I don't always post my actions, and some people might argue that, you know, but I tell you what, I only see a certain amount of people where I am doing what I'm doing.
Now, what if somebody posts your actions for you without your consent? Because there's where you may find, like, famous people that you think are woke, but they may get a video may surface of them doing something unwoke.
Okay, well, I would just like to thank God for the fact that I came along before social media and posting and clout chasing and all of that. Now, you say somebody posted me without my consent.
Without your consent.
But I would look at that as posting me without my knowledge. So, you know how people now will be like, I'm helping this disadvantaged person, but I'm doing it with my phone in my hand.
Right.
Because I want to document, you know, what I did, because in the back of our minds, we're like, it doesn't count if nobody liked it. Mm-hmm. Like that creeps into your consciousness. If somebody posts me doing the things that I know I be doing, I wouldn't say that you don't have my consent. I would say you didn't have my knowledge of it, but I'm G'd up. Like you going to catch me, you know, you're going to catch me living a life that I live. But I'm also multifaceted and well-rounded. And at least our approach has been either retaining or reclaiming your humanity. So you can't catch me fucked up because I'm living. You see what I'm saying? Right. Like you can't really catch me out of shape or, I mean, not physical shape, but you know what I mean? Like out of pocket because I'm living. And I think that's what brings balance. And here's what people might lose in their journey to be woke and appear to be something. You think you gotta be vegan, locked up, dashiki, you know, natural, not natural, but, you know, bronze and metal jewelry and your hair natural and all that. Okay, you do all that and you still kind of got the structures of patriarchy and white supremacy and sexism and, you know, all of this bullshit right on your back. You just got a dashiki on.
It's a lot of action that is performative. And I tell people all the time, like, I don't post a lot. I'll jump in the comments a lot of times or whatever. But like the people who know me know the way that I move, and I'm not here to perform for anybody.
Right.
But, you know, you that's where I go back to knowing yourself, because action is very easy when you know what you're capable of doing. And so,
and you what know, you can be consistent
and
with.
And what you can be consistent with. Absolutely. And so it's like, hell, I might not look the part. I might not even speak the part, but I'm not doing this for you anyway. You know, the moves that I make are in the realm that I know that I can be effective. Like you said, we're all born into capitalism, patriarchy. We're born with these things on us. A lot of deprogramming needs to take place. So when you see me in this world functioning in the ways that have been put on me, I'm not slipping. I'm not, again, I'm just living.
Level four, finesse game. Yeah, like you're navigating the situation that you now realize that you're in. But you also said something important just as far as being able to manage both sides of it. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Like I see exactly what's going on. So like one of the things that kind of brings about this awareness is the survey, the observation. Like I keep noticing these things go wrong, or these people are constantly under attack, or this type of policy is always, you know, ostracized or whatever. But as you came into your awareness, did you feel like that was a singular journey, or was it like happening all around you and you just got caught up in it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, was it you?
Was it a group project?
Yeah. Like, was it all of y'all, or were you kind of out on a limb and now people have caught up, or it's a fad or whatever?
The first taste I got of it was actually while I was at college learning about marketing and advertising and the effects of frequency, just repeated messaging, messaging that's catchy, and how that can persuade people to buy things, to do things in their subconscious. When you think about catchy slogans and jingles and things of that nature that stick with you, that I think that was the first time I started to pay attention to more than just advertising. And apply that
seeing
to
where else it was happening.
Right. And I was with like-minded people at the time, so I wasn't alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I came up in a house where my mother is an academic, and so she was, those messages were, and my dad was crazy, but militant. So she brought me balance. But then I was you know how you go through that phase where your parents don't know anything. You can't tell me anything. This is crazy. So I'm going to go over here. Then I got to an HBCU, and then I went back, told my mother all the things that I had learned, and she gently reminded me that, you know, I told you that back in 91, and I was like, oh.
For free.
Right, exactly. And then, but I never felt like I was alone, because mm-hmm. I always had, like, in the house was a proper tribe. At school was a proper tribe. The friends that I chose were a proper tribe, and we all, even though we might not have moved at the same pace, we were all moving. Mm-hmm. So it was never a time where it was like, I'm out here and I'm talking like this and everybody's looking at me crazy. Some people would get with me, some people wouldn't. But it was never a situation where I felt like I was on the outside, because we were all on a journey. Mm-hmm. And that part was always respected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it was about topic. So, you know, growing up in church and all of that stuff, like, my awakening with faith happened earlier. And with that, it was just like me and JW and maybe a couple people, but it was a pretty lonely space. And it wasn't until I got into a community of people experiencing that same thing that mm-hmm. I started the capitalism, the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. So that part was in community. But the first part, it was just a couple of us. And I mean, even of that group, I was like way out in front. Like I was the, mm-hmm. I was on the fringe of that group.
So I think I did this a couple of times, which is why I was like, is you jump in on different levels, because I had the HBCU experience and studying history at a HBCU. I would not trade that for the world.
So valuable.
But remember a previous episode, we said the spirit wants to reconcile itself. So I was having an issue with what I had learned at school and what I had seen in my family and what I was learning in church. And I think that last big cycle of deprogramming and figuring out, like, I was always kind of aware, like, I think you're in my tribe, you're in my tribe, you're in my tribe. But I was like, I want all of us to be a tribe. So things like even this podcast emerged from a last cycle of, or participating in this, emerged from the last cycle of deprogramming, where I wanted to reconcile some of these other areas.
Okay, so now that we awakened and been born and lost all of these things,
have,
like,
we showered?
What type of things? What type of things did ashy? You notice that you lose or you lost as a part of that? Like, did you lose some of the fun stuff as you're becoming aware?
I lost my patience, but it's okay.
You lost your patience.
Yeah. So.
Oh well. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Instead of, I realized that, you know, I'm huge on language. Words mean things. And when you really start listening to people, you be like, yo, what is you slow stepping that, you know, mm-hmm. say what you're saying.
Right.
So, you know, say what you're saying, do what you're doing. You know, this whole, what comes to mind, Kevin Hart, say it with your chest. No, really.
Right.
You know, save people a lot of time, because one of my observations of media now is that the same media that vilifies certain groups is really having a hard time vilifying the group that funds them, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. and vilifying the group that is a large part of their viewing audience. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, dang, it take y'all 3 weeks to say that statement was racist.
Yeah.
It take you exactly 13 minutes to tell me, you know, Tyrone Bigum's life story. Yeah. And he killed three people and has his face everywhere and all of that. So my patience is probably. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I finally remember being patient.
I lost Kool-Aid. I lost eating watermelon at work. I lost eating fried chicken at work.
I do all that.
No, now I do.
Okay.
But initially there were certain fruits I avoided at, you know, the company what? Functions.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you are hyper aware of that type of
especially
stuff.
Especially if it was on a wedge. Like, if it was sliced and diced, then I would partake.
Okay, I've never eaten watermelon on a wedge.
See, that's what I'm saying. It sounds wild, right? Like, eating a watermelon.
Like, enough is enough.
Yeah, we're not doing that. not at the company picnic. That's all right. Y'all can chop this up. So I lost that. I lost Kool-Aid. I lost when I started becoming aware of Monsanto products. I lost Cheerios.
Gosh, I lost
so many things that I loved.
That isn't that amazing how much of what you lost is in a supermarket?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, just what am I going to spend my money on?
A friend of mine told me a long time ago, you do best never going down the aisle.
Yeah, staying outside.
Mm-hmm. And when the Monsanto news broke, I don't think I go down the aisle. I don't think I go down the aisle much at all anymore. And it's just, I just reflect on that conversation I had with a friend of like 4 years ago.
Food.
I did lose a lot of food. And then I came to grips with the fact that in the United States, the whole food supply is tainted and they're trying to kill us. So every now and then I'll enjoy certain things.
They're not trying to kill us. They just kind of make us sick.
Because there's money in us being sick.
They're trying to keep us sick.
Yeah.
Thank you. But,
yes, we're sliding into a woke as fuck conversation.
Right. But also getting older, my taste has changed. So I don't look at a lot of things as a loss so much anymore with that. Right. I lost a lot of music in the way that I enjoyed it the first go round. Mm. And then I adjusted. Like I said, I can't get to woke as fuck because I'm gonna enjoy myself. But like Grease and I did an episode of Reels and Feels where we discussed misogyny and hip hop. And only thing we did was focus on songs that were supposed to be pro-black woman.
Right. Yeah. And
how
terrible
they were. Mm-hmm. And just stuff that just doesn't stand up well. But then I'll hear it and I'll say, you know what? These words are trash, but those horns, you know what I mean? Right. I can take away
some of the best production, some of the worst lyrics.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think the thing that I gained, because the list of things that I lost is really long, just in the way that my woke status has fluctuated. But the thing that I gained that has brought me peace in this whole woke journey is that everybody and everything is problematic. Now you deal with what you're going to do with all of these things. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I remember I was very, very leery of following anybody I was a fan of on social media. And then I was like, let me break down and let me do it. Cause Grease will share some stuff with me. And I'd be like, I don't even know that, you know, I'm not even on that page. So I said, let me get into some people. And I remember it was maybe like 3 weeks in and Erykah Badu said something wild, basically insinuating that the onus was on young girls to not present themselves a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that onus is not on the predators who are looking at a child and sexualizing them. And I saw people up in arms. And I was like, wait a minute, when did she ever say that she was on a certain level? Patriarchy affects her too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We put this on her. You know, people got mad at Kendrick Lamar. And I'm like, the album slapped.
He's on the fire,
the colorism stuff and.
Oh, the damn album.
No, it was Be Humble. Is that what it was?
I believe it was Be Humble.
But it was basically like, the things that he was representing in the video didn't match what he was saying.
Yeah, he was tired of the Photoshop.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you're thinking to yourself, the hip-hop community bestowed upon him that he's this entity that is a little more conscious. He never said that. We don't know at all what his level of consciousness is. He's just not a mumble rapper. Right. That's the only thing we really know. We don't know how he thinks when he's in the house. We don't know how he was brought
up. There's no discriminating because at his age, I was horrible.
Exactly. And you think about that
but
too.
But I think that's why we have, so when you say, you know, woke and aware and what are you sacrificing and what are you gaining? I think that's why we had to talk about cancellation culture because it is bull. So it's not totally bull, but you have to be a critically thinking person to understand certain things, like how people come at Cardi B. I'm like, yo, when I was 25, seriously? No.
She's a baby. How soon do we forget some of the things that we say 6 months ago?
And I'm not saying to make
ago.
An excuse for her, but she's 25.
Right.
And she is literally getting it out of nothing. You know what I mean? And if you, we've talked about that, when you look at her rise compared to somebody else, you have to account for where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You have to account for how many people's life don't look like that, don't have that type of opportunity. She's from the Bronx just like me. And I was just like, yo, I'm just proud. I don't really get into, you know, because I'm not even about to, you know, behave like, because I don't want this, I don't want anybody to misunderstand this as an elitist conversation, mm-hmm. just because we're talking about, you know, having been on college campuses and, you know, parental structure at home and reading and all of this. No, there are people who are clocked in who don't have those characteristics, but there is a sensitivity to self and self-knowledge that kind of helps you manage your perspective about other things.
Yeah.
You're humble. You are humble. I don't know everything. And starting from there, that's where you grow. That's where you learn.
So I'm getting to a question that we had in the group. And to piggyback on what you were saying, Janelle, like the music was a big thing for me. Like going back, No Vaseline was great when I heard it. Mm-hmm. No Vaseline is really a problem right now, mm-hmm. in terms of just the West Coast rap, and they do a lot of homophobic stuff, and it's just really, they put their dicks in each other's mouths a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the entire 1990 catalog.
It's a whole lot of oral sex. So, like, stuff like that, and then, like, Love and Basketball is trash now. Like, oh, my God. Like, y'all were talking about that.
Man, Love and Basketball felt like Quincy was trash. Black women got free and was like, what?
Like, I love that movie.
I always thought it was trash.
I always loved it. Like, so, nostalgia is where I feel it. Like, the stuff that was great, it hurts more when, like, you're losing periods of childhood or coming into adulthood. Like the 90s, oh man, I was all dog pound in the 90s. I'm horrible. Like listening to that now, I'm like, wait, let me.
It's classic material though,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what
still,
you
I
did.
Still listen to it to this day.
Yeah, like on All Eyes on Me, All About You is like one of my favorite songs. Every other city we go, I see the same hole.
Yes.
Like, it is. I like it.
I tell Greece all the time, oh, this is deliciously ignorant. Yeah. Oh, this is deliciously trash. Oh, this is beautifully stupid. Because I'm going to take in everything that I want from it. But I still know that this is garbage.
Right. I love Chris Brown's problematic ass. I love
that's the thing, because I used to have to sneak off into a corner and listen to Chris Brown, but now I just be like, look,
this is windows down, 90 degrees, windows down. That album bumps, okay? Everything I haven't found a song yet that wasn't problematic, but it's good music.
Looking, so that's you're reflecting. Mm-hmm. You're reflecting. You're like, wow. I didn't even know. But think about the environment we were in. In mm-hmm. that particular environment, people got to be as trash as they wanted to be. Yeah. We had never, you don't want to say we had never had it, but like, come on, even the amount of exposure, the consumption of things that have been left to us, you know, that are emitting in the culture. So you're not going to get great lyrics from people who are literally living through the shit that we waking up to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're living through dilapidated public housing, under-resourced schools, mm-hmm. you know, but somebody listening to this, came up in a community where fathers are scarce for a host of reasons, mm-hmm. you know, mothers too. Okay, so it's just like, things have been happening. I never expected more of the culture than I did the community.
Right.
So like, we only at R. Kelly throat because we finally at that nasty uncle's throat. Yeah. You can't come mm-hmm. to Thanksgiving yeah. dinner.
Right.
And because he can't come to Thanksgiving dinner, we're no longer like, you know, and even though, you know, I don't think one of my top five, maybe seven R&B albums ever is, what is it? 12 Play 2, TP2. I can't, not for me. I can't. When you say, what did you lose? Yo, I just lost my taste for him even getting these spins right
yeah.
now
yeah. Yeah.
to pay for his defense because he ain't give, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's a full circle for me. But that, you talking about something that bangs? You talking about something like,
yeah.
what?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I miss it, but I don't miss that more than I just don't even want to be a part of. You know, now that I know and knowing what my life's been like, I'm not going to chill right there. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
But it's interesting you bring that up because our producer extraordinaire, C Major, grew up just a R. Kelly fan.
Huge fan.
I came to listen to R. Kelly differently a long time ago. I'm not going to ever pretend like the music didn't crank. But then you start listening and then you start understanding I can't stomach him singing about young girls with this. And I'm not.
Now that you know what's up.
And I'm not going to put money in his pockets. But we never had to vilify C Major because he's bumping that Chocolate Factory. I don't have to go and tell you how you're going to move with it. Yeah. I deal with this. Yeah. I know who I'm going to put money to. I had somebody try to check me in regards to my conversation, because we've had a lot of conversations about R. Kelly, Chris Brown, whatever. And they were like, well, you know, you support Chris Brown. I'm like, yo, Chris Brown went to jail. The thing about it is he's already suffered consequences. But I never take away from the fact that R. Kelly is a victim as well of a lot of life circumstances, but he's never suffered anything for what he's done with that. And my thing is this, I'm like, look, all of these people are trash. I just know how I move with my dollars and why I do what I do. I'm never going to be on the cancel mission. Grease no more than most people that I'm always the one. Sometimes when she want the battery put in her back to just go on and just kill it all, I'm the one like, well, you know, we have to consider that they're coming from this space.
She and always make me think about their parents.
I look for growth with everybody. Yeah. I want growth for everybody. While you're still here, there's still time. You know what I'm saying? We had that conversation about XXXTentacion. I said the only issue is he didn't have time to make right what happened, and now he's gone. So then you're going to have people on one side of things and you're going to have people on the other. I'm not going to vilify anybody. I'm not going to take away anybody's humanity or the room for their growth. But I do know where I'm going to put my time, my money, and my energy.
So we got a question from someone in the group. Lynette, my favorite person in the group. Okay, so the question is, what are some of the things that y'all still choose to enjoy in spite of?
Bacon.
Okay.
Every now and again. Even though, even that's changing. I probably want to change the answer. But what do I still enjoy?
I enjoy.
I'm not even getting into it. Y'all gonna end up.
I enjoy.
Get canceled.
I still, cancel me. I still enjoy Old Navy's prices. Knowing what I know about that organization.
How they got new
prices.
Like, when them t-shirts go on sale, T Greasy's online. I'm letting you know now. I have yet to give up my $5 prison tees. I have yet to give up.
That's crazy because on that level, I haven't given up Florida yet.
Well, there you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, it's certain things.
I'll be down there.
I'm like, made in America, made in prison.
How are these things?
How are these, that's the one thing I haven't given up. It's not, but.
It's laugh to keep from crying. Like, that's absolutely just the awareness.
I'm going to keep it a stack. I don't give up a damn thing. I'm going to tell you, my circumstances dictate how I move. So if I need to enjoy prison jeans, I'm going to do it. If I need to eat this bacon sandwich, I'm going to do it. If I need to, whatever I need to do, I'm going to do it. But I'm one of them people, you remember how when Al Gore started talking heavy about climate change and carbon footprints and then those offsets, I do a lot of work. And so I'm like, you know what? I do a lot of work. So I'm going to eat this steak and know that the work that I did. And know that the work that I did. And you know, my thing is, part of the problem is me. The big part of the problem, though, is corporations who have commoditized food in the way that they have. So let me do something as far as that goes, but I'm going to still eat this steak right
here.
We
both work for organizations whose mission is to better the world in one way or the other. So I feel like I spend 10 to 11 hours a day contributing to the prevention of climate change. So I'm going to enjoy my prison jeans.
Yeah, I don't know that I. Most of the stuff that I keep is stuff that made me feel better when I was younger. Like when I didn't have bills and all that stuff, that's a good feeling. And I don't want to lose that just because I'm more aware now. So, movies that I watch, music that I listen to then, I'm more inclined to listen to that stuff now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, I remember one of the biggest losses I had was the NFL. Like,
you grow strong.
I boycotted the NFL for 2 years, and my timeline was all NFL all the time. I'm like, y'all niggas ain't worth a damn. Like, everybody, because everybody was like, yo, we boycott. And I was like, oh, word? Sure. And then
I was with you.
Yeah, so it was a few people.
I was with you.
It was a few people. And then that seemed like one of the easiest ones to do. Like, just turn the channel, do something else. Like, just for a little while. But it wasn't possible. And so even now, like with R. Kelly, like if R. Kelly song come on, I just got turned because this is disgusting.
Yeah.
The NFL is kind of like that for me. It's just like, oh man, y'all are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, the boycott is over. Well, if it was ever on, it was just a couple of us. We could have just had
it felt like, it did feel like you were alone.
It was
people doing it, but I just feel like that was one of those examples of co-opting a movement.
Yep.
Because it was effective, and all of a sudden you had people changing the language around it, like, you're boycotting us, we're boycotting you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no the fuck you not.
Yeah.
You mad. But we had to, those who were able to stay focused, this is about your personal integrity. You see what I mean? So, like, that's why, I don't know if anybody heard it, but I too am problematic. I like some things that people probably won't think I should like. I do some things that probably people don't think I should do. I like and do things that even I got to deal with myself about. But that is because I want to reclaim 150% of my humanity.
Exactly.
This idea that you have to be perfect to want good, it is unachievable. It changes the language around you wanting a problem solved. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want this problem solved? Are you perfect? These two things do not correlate.
Right.
Right. So for the people who have, and these are prisons in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Perfection, you know, even going back to our conversation last week about submission, or a couple weeks ago about submission, people are pursuing perfection, not realizing that ain't the goal.
Right.
That is going to be the pit. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with this awareness. You trying to get all your citations together? You trying to, you know, read me for filth and you are just now getting the Baldwin? You know, you're trying to one-up me.
Yeah.
In this one-up culture. And I'm saying, that ain't, this ain't even
that.
The goal. Well, first of all, but that's not even the goal. Mm-hmm. I don't even want you to use your energy that way.
Right. And it's one of the things, like when you brought up the NFL, like we record on Sundays, and at the height, you know, during the NFL season, we're in there all day. She's going to watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
I do not question for 1 minute how real she is about any part of the struggle, the cause, anything. Yeah. So that's not even a conversation I got to have with her. This was about me. I'd sit in the kitchen eating wings, you know, because you know what I'm saying? The game is over. Okay, that's not for me. And it's not for me for my reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. But I never called into question my homegirl, because it's like, that's just not where she is with it. And that's okay. I think a big part of this whole woke thing and being able to rest and not stay in a constant state of rage is understand that, you know what, the work is with me. So when I see somebody else doing their thing, a lot of this can be solved by minding your own business.
Absolutely.
A lot of the triggers and the stress can be solved by minding your own business.
What is that?
It's hard these days because folks feel like they got to weigh in, like, on everything.
Get mad with me on this.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's
man,
like, no.
Get mad all the time. Like, I can't even.
I don't have that kind of energy.
I can't keep it up. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I cannot do that.
That's the other thing about this. Like, there's a mental health component associated with being, as you increase in the levels. I mean, you got to be able to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes not robbing yourself of all the joy that you find. I mean, there's certain things, like I said, that I'm just not going to be able to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that shouldn't apply to everything.
No.
That should apply to things that, I mean, you have, like, I have my lines. Like, if this is harming someone else, that's a tough one. But if it's just me in the corner doing something that ain't really, you know, like, for instance, if I watch
sandwich?
A movie. Yeah, eating a bacon sandwich, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Watching Brown Sugar or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all right. Let me take a moment.
Right.
And have a break and regenerate some of the joy that I just find. That's the other, people are not finding joy. Like, you finding problems more than you finding joy. You finding things to get upset about more than you finding happiness. And nobody's chasing the happiness anymore because everyone's waking up and trying to put the pieces of the system together. They're trying to figure out how it all connects.
Nobody wants to be hoodwinked.
Yeah.
So it's like, nobody wants to be taken advantage of. And when you say there's a mental health component, some of these things are not things that are easily tackled. Like, we're asking people to just lead a healthier life. So you can start out talking about diet. You can then move into, you know, make sure you're living in a healthy environment. Mm-hmm. Then you can move into, you know, make sure that you're treating yourself well emotionally. Now, wokeness, we're asking that you have an intellectually healthy relationship with yourself. But all in all, putting yourself in the middle of your experience, that sometimes is what raises people's awareness. You don't realize how far out of the center you are in your own experience. When you are in the middle of your own experience, I can relate to what Janelle is saying, because I'm going to do what I'm doing because I'm aware of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
Have you ever found yourself in the middle of being enraged by something and then going to the exact source to find joy?
Like what?
For example, let's go with the easy one, racism or prejudiceness. To me, I find myself going and searching for movies that were overtly racist, overtly prejudiced, with comedic intent.
Okay.
And I find joy in that. It gets me to relax those muscles.
Not like Mississippi Burning.
No.
Like Blazing Saddles.
Okay, Blazing Saddles, okay. Tropic Thunder.
Right.
Movies
Tropic
that were
Thunder
meant.
Is funny.
Yes. Movies that were meant to be a comedy that over exaggerated
these things.
Right.
I don't know if I go, you know, if I'm enraged by something. It is. Because it's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Absolutely.
But. So yeah, no, both of my enemy. But no, I don't think I do that. I think I just try to find the balance. So if something is overtly racist, I'm naturally drawn to something that just debunks that. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily even in a satire way, you know, which is what you describe. Right. But like if I, especially being a black woman and having all these different attributes and everything is, you know, either black girl magic or queen or whatever. We don't feel like that all the time. Mm-hmm. So when I come across something that has been meant to hurt us or debase us or tear us down, I can find my joy looking to one of us and saying, obviously that's a lie. Yeah. Or, you know, the affirmation. I think I look more for affirmations than the satire. Only because I feel like people they play too much. Mm. So I think something that kind of just bothers me is when people don't take stuff seriously enough. Mm. And I'm like, yo, just 1 minute. Just 1 minute. Not a lot. Just everything's not a joke. Or, you know, only because I feel like even that is a way that when we said the machine adapts, when we say it's adaptive for you, you think you're comfortable, it's changing. Woke is now a general word, right? You know, we fight every day for Black Lives Matter over whatever else y'all could possibly be talking about. And I think that in an effort to say, I see you, now things become flippant. I don't want to see people treat everything like a joke, because everything isn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I'll take my positive for your negative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more like a that's interesting. I might try that. But I'm leaning more towards the affirmation. Like, especially with racism, I look for something. Like, I become like Dead Mike or something, just going the other way. Like, I'm black, y'all. I'm black. Like, and that's kind of where I get, like, the pride in it is how I offset or find that balance. The balance is something that we got to get to and find different ways to actually achieve it. And we had a question from Micah about finding balance. Like, how do you find your balance? And that was what you said, T, was one way to actually balance it. Like, what about you, Janelle?
I find balance basically by, again, it goes back to self. I know what I'm about. I know what I can deal with, and I stay in that lane. Like, I don't go looking for stress. The thing that matters most in any situation is me. And that probably sounds awful, but I think I was talking to my therapist actually about how people do narcissism the wrong way, and they make everything except themselves about them. And so my balance comes from, it's just about me. So when I'm enjoying something crazy by myself, it's cool. But when I'm doing the work for women, for black people, for children, I'm doing that for me too. It's because that's what feeds me. If I'm always worried about feeding myself, I'm not taking off of anybody else's plate. I'm not adding to anybody else's plate. I go to bed every night with ease because I'm not stressing anybody. I know that I completed the day without harm or with minimal harm to others because I'm only focused on me. That's where the balance comes from. I always know if my chi is not centered, okay, let me do something else to get it right back. And it happens so often and so regularly. I can't really say that, like, you know, when a particular thing gets too heavy, this is my remedy, because I don't function like that. It's just I need to maintain a certain vibration. And when that's off, I got to do something about that.
That sounds like an eloquent way to say masturbation.
Awesome. Oh, yes. That is exactly. Because that is the technique.
I blast myself to the ceiling. Right.
Your balance is in your hands.
Okay.
So it is very hot in this room. We have reached our natural deodorant limits. Thank y'all so much for coming out and helping us
walk
through this stuff.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
It would have been a different conversation if it was just Amir and I. It would have been real, real heavy. And this is not what we're looking for. This is not today.
And if you, listeners, if you're looking for balance, because you get some, like, the jewelry that you get from Faith Uncut is unbelievable, but it's a lot to digest, because these hosts, they study, they know things.
They outline, they prepare.
If you need balance, please check out Reels and Feels, where we know nothing.
We know nothing.
And we study nothing.
We just talk.
We're just flailing.
Yes, do that. We highly endorse this. Thank you for hanging with us in this deconstruction season of Faith Uncut. We will see you next season when we build. For Faith Uncut, I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
For more on Faith Uncut, check us out at faithuncut.com.